Our scripture lesson today is from 2 Samuel chapter 18. It's listed as 15 in your bulletin, but we had a lot of confusion this week about what our scripture reading was, so Robin said to blame it on the fact that she was on vacation a couple weeks ago, so that will cover everything here. So I think we're reading the right one today, I hope so, but if the scripture isn't what Robin preaches on, it's all her fault, not mine, so I'm going to read you something here, so. It's 2 Samuel chapter 18, verses 5 through 18, and verse 33, and it can be found in your pew Bible on 228 and 229. And the king ordered Joab and Abishai and Ittai, "Deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom." And all the people heard, the king gave the orders to all the commanders about Absalom. So the army went out into the field against Israel, and the battle was fought in the forest of Ephraim. And the men of Israel were defeated there by the servants of David, and the slaughter was great on that day, 20,000 men. The battle spread over the forest, spread over the face of all the country, and the forest devoured more that day than the sword. And Absalom chanced to meet the servants of David. Absalom was riding upon his mule, and the mule went under the thick branches of a great oak, and his head caught fast in the oak, and he was left hanging between heaven and earth, while the mule that was under him went on. And a certain man saw it and told Joab, "Behold, I saw Absalom hanging in an oak." Joab said to the man whom told him, "What, you saw him? Why then did you not strike him down to the ground? I would have been glad to have given you 10 pieces of silver and a girdle." But the man said to Joab, "Even if I felt in my hand the weight of 1,000 pieces of silver, I would not put forth my hand against the king's son. For in our hearing, the king commanded you and Abishai and Ittai, for my sake, protect the young man Absalom. On the other hand, if I had dealt with treachery against his life, and therein nothing hidden from the king, then would you yourself have stood aloof?" Joab said, "I will not waste time like this with you." And he took 3 darts in his hand, and he thrust them into the heart of Absalom, while he was still alive and in the oak. And 10 young men, Joab's armor bearers, surrounded Absalom and struck him and killed him. Then Joab blew the trumpet, and the troops came back from pursuing Israel, for Joab had restrained them. And they took Absalom and threw him into a great pit in the forest, and raised over him a very great heap of stones. And all Israel fled, every one to his own home. Now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and set up for himself a pillar in which is in the king's valley, for he said, "I have no son to keep my name in remembrance." He called the pillar after his own name, and it is called Absalom's monument to this day. And the king was deeply moved, and he went up to the chamber over the gate, and he wept. And as he went, he said, "O my son Absalom, my son, my son Absalom, would I have died instead of you, O Absalom, my son, my son."
I blame my error on vacation, and I'll tell you why. For those of you that don't know, I took 4 of my grandchildren on vacation, and I have a little Subaru, so that was 5 people in a little silver tin can for a week, and then we had a little break, and then we got into a bigger vehicle and went on vacation again with my mother. But that first week, it was me and the kids. These kids are great kids, not just because they're mine. They're good kids, and we had a great time, but they're kids. Love them dearly, but I will say it was challenging at times. But I'll also say it was challenging for them at times. I live alone. I'm not used to all of the noise. And so I was as crabby, and we were having as many little struggles as on both sides. But we had a great time. Thankfully, they didn't murder me, and they did. I did send them home in one piece, and hopefully I sent them home happy. We do have great memories. But David didn't fare so well with his family. It was more than a little squabbling and ended up with killing one another. But I've got to fill in the story. We kind of, as this often happens, we have a passage and it's just kind of dropped in. And you need to know a little more before you can really understand it. At the beginning of the summer, we began to talk about King David, and we talked about his wife Abigail. Well, he was married to Michal already, and then he added Abigail on. I'm sure there were other women. And then we know the story a couple of weeks ago when we talked about Bathsheba. So David had quite a few women, quite a few wives. Well, that always complicates life because then you have children, children from all of these different wives. And of course, in those days, it was political maneuvering. And so some of the wives maybe were not from the same culture. And so you had a cultural blend also within this huge family. Well, our story starts with Absalom, Tamar, and Amnon. Absalom and Tamar were whole sister and brother. They had the same mother. Amnon had a different mother. They all shared the same father, King David. Well, Amnon became in love, is what the scripture said, with Tamar, but she refused to let that relationship go on, and so it says that he raped her. Well, in love and rape have nothing to do with one another. Rape is violence. And so he violated Tamar. And so Absalom heard about it, and he became incensed. His anger festered. He told Tamar to be quiet, but he planned. So then he planned the murder of Amnon. Well, when David heard about it, Absalom fled. David did nothing about it for a while. And then after a while, he invited Absalom to come back home, to come back into Jerusalem. But he didn't talk to him. He invited him home. But for 2 years, Absalom did not talk to his father. So you can imagine Absalom's anger then was festering again. Well, within that 2 years, Absalom became a very good politician. So he went around, he was befriending people, you know, the way politicians do, hold the babies, say hi, how are you, get down with the people, shake hands. And so he was doing this. Now, he's doing this in his father's kingdom. Well, after a while, the people began to follow Absalom and declare him as king of Hebron. Well, when David heard that, then King David fled. And that's where our story starts. King David fled across the Jordan River. If you've ever been to Israel, it's mountainous, it's desert. But down through the middle is the Jordan River. And at the bottom, at the top, you have the Sea of Galilee. And at the bottom, you have the Dead Sea. But all along that river, it's fertile, it's water. And so in David's time, there were forests. Well, David had an army of men who had fought. They knew how to fight, and they knew how to be in the forest. Absalom's army was not so skilled. He had a pulled-together kind of an army. And so they met each other in this Jordan River Valley. But David said to his men a very interesting thing. In verse 5, of our scripture this morning, it says that the king ordered Joab and Abishai and Ittai, saying, deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom. So he's telling his men to go to war against these people, but deal gently with their leader, Absalom, the one who started all of this. But we begin to see a little bit about David's family when we see here, because he says the young man. He doesn't say my son. And many of you who are not familiar with this story probably didn't even realize Absalom was his son until the very end. For whatever reason, David did not call him his son. He didn't verbally recognize his son until after he was gone. Too late and too sad. Well, we all have losses and griefs in our family. As a parent, we suffer many losses with our children. They could be big losses, like when a child comes home and says, I'm pregnant, or calls and says, bail me out of jail, or I'm on drugs, I need help. But then there's others like, well, I've got to drop out of school for a while, or illnesses that cause us pain as we watch our child go through them. As our children are older, those that deal with infertility or losing a spouse or a friend, we have these losses. And when we see our children going through them, it hurts even deeper. And even for those of you who are not parents, you have nieces and nephews and those who you take on as your children. And it hurts to watch our young people have to go through tough times. But life is tough. Children don't always live up to what we want them to live up to. In Bible study, my mom was here, and everybody wanted to know what kind of kid I was. And I was one of those that did not live up to mom and dad's expectations until later. Mom told a story about me. I will say I took all of my punishments. I learned by my mistakes. But she used to swamp me with a brush, and one day I was at the fence yelling at the kids next door because I've always been into people. I barely could speak, and I turned to my mom and I said, well, go get the brush. So I was one of those kids. I did not live up to mom's and dad's expectations. And those caused pain. But it's not just our parents' expectations. It's also those little things like unwise decisions, poor relationships, changing directions in our life, all of those missteps that I had to go through in life. Even the best parents are hurt by the things that happen to their children or that they see their kids do. Well, Absalom, Amnon, and Tamar were very painful to David. But I think that there's another side to it. I think it's the parent in our part in the relationship. And I think that David broke their hearts too. Where did Amnon learn that he could take, and it was okay to take, and it was okay to kill a piece of his sister? Well, we remember a couple of weeks ago the story about Bathsheba and his father David. David looked into the backyard of his commander-in-chief. He saw and he wanted and he took. And so Amnon grew up in a home that saw that it's okay to take if you want it. If you have the power, it's okay to use that power. And then David didn't punish Amnon. And so, taking power, raping, is okay. And so Absalom and Tamar watched this, and then Absalom's anger festered against his brother, and it went on and on. But we look at David and Saul. Saul and Saul's son Jonathan were good friends of David. But yet David fought against them until they finally died. It was after their death that David mourned. And so we see this anger in David, and the fact that he invited his son home for 2 years but didn't even speak to him and would not acknowledge him as son. This morning we sang the song, Children Will Listen. Children do listen. This song talks about telling tales to our children and watching what tales we tell, but it also talks about what we say and what we do. Because children listen and see what we do in their lives. Myron Madden was a wonderful theologian, pastor. He wrote a great book about blessing our children. And I know I've spoken about this book before, the importance of telling our children, you are wonderfully God-made, and I love you. Often we think that those words are assumed, that our children hear them, but it's important to say, I bless you, no matter what you do, no matter which course in life you take, I bless you and I love you. One time when my girls were, my youngest was a young mom, and my middle child, my daughter, was a young teacher, and they were home, happened to be home. It was Valentine's Day, and so I made a CD of songs that I wanted them to hear, because we're all musical, and music speaks to us, and so on that I put, I think, Butterfly Kisses, and I can't remember what else, a lot of songs about loving and loving children. But the one that meant the most to us is a song that was sung by Barbara Streisand, and it's called If I Could. The words say, if I could, I'd protect you from the sadness in your eyes, give you courage in a world of compromise. Yes, I would. If I could, I would teach you all the things I never learned, and I'd help you cross the bridges that I burned. Yes, I would. If I could, I would try to shield your innocence from time. But the part of life I gave you isn't mine. I've watched you grow so I could let you go. If I could, I would help you make it through the hungry years. But I know that I could never cry your tears. But I would if I could. If I live in a time and place where you don't want to be, you don't have to walk along this road with me. My yesterday won't have to be your way. If I knew, I'd have tried to change the world I brought you to, but there wasn't very much that I could do, but I would if I could. I asked my daughter's forgiveness, because as parents, we mess up. You know, we often get into that teaching our children and making sure they do it right. But in that course, like on vacation with my grandchildren, I had to say, guys, I'm sorry. The noise is getting to me. I'm not used to noise. And I had to ask forgiveness for being crabby about that. Because when we love one another, we get into each other's space. And we have to learn to ask forgiveness of each other in our love relationships. I laugh now because when I watch my children, and as they have children, I see myself in them, both the good and the bad. The things that I don't care for them that they do with their children, I think, oh my goodness, where did they learn that? Just like David and Absalom, Tamar and Amnon. The saddest part about this story, though, in verse 33, after Absalom's death, the king was deeply moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, he said, oh, my son, Absalom, my son, Absalom, would I had died instead of you, O Absalom, my son, my son. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. God of tender mercy, bless our lives as we live in love with those closest to us. Amen.